podcast party. Descent into Avernus. My name is Painbearer Corbin Shiv. My friends and I are searching the Crypt of the Hellriders for the Death Knight Olanthius. Hope we find him before he finds us.
We still have to find him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Someone's got to remind him of all this stuff. Probably someone who's better at talking than me.
Lulu's been sitting in the corner.
Lulu floats over to you and says, I don't know where Olanthius is, if that's what you're needing from me, but I've been staring at this beautiful mural.
Oh, right, and you guys don't want to ride on Lulu if she looks like that.
I don't know if I can live up to your expectations. I'm just letting y'all know right now. That's very, very intimidating.
You're pretty great either way.
I've been getting this sort of tangling in the back of my head when I'm looking at this thing. And that usually happens when I remember things. I remember how to do things, remember how to...
And then she looks over at Corbin and says, Corbin, I think I might be owing you a little bit of a favor sometime soon.
Amazing.
You think you... Oh, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to jinx it. All right.
Well, I'm not going to do it here right now. This place is way too small. I'm not going to fit here.
I know. I know. I'm just... It's better than the car, I think. But I like that car a lot. That
one. Are you seriously comparing me to a car?
No.
Like, honestly?
No.
Here's the
no.
thing. Corbin doesn't really mean to be disrespectful.
No, my words just get mixed up in my head. You know, sorry.
You're a beautiful force of nature, Lulu. No matter how big you are.
Uh-huh. You'll make me cry again.
Lulu, we love you even if you stay just like you are now. Did that come out right? I don't know if it came out right.
Look, this is very touching. We are still in the crypt of a death knight, right? Who we've got to find quickly, hopefully before he finds us.
Oh.
All right, so we're going south. Now we're back to the hallway with the coffins in it.
Corbin, Lulu, let's go.
I'm coming, sorry.
So Ophelia and I are just right in the hallway in front of some coffins.
What's on these coffins? It looks like there's something red on them.
There is. You look at the lids of the coffins. There are on each of them a single healthy red rose resting on its lid.
Wow. So I'm interested in this because it seems like this is in some ways a legitimately sort of touching, beautiful memorial to the Hellriders. And it's strange to me that it's allowed to stay here.
Well, these aren't the Hellriders that left Zariel behind, right? These are the Hellriders that died here with her, presumably.
I see.
These are probably not the ones she was angry at.
I don't think we should disturb them.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just try to keep looking for him.
So you keep moving south and then west. As you enter the next room, you see that there is an iron urn heaped with human bones, which squats in an alcove at one end of this hall. On the wall nearby, there's a carved relief that shows a column of mounted knights charging through a portal into a very familiar fiery landscape.
Would Corbin know if an urn like this was to burn bodies as a good thing or as a bad thing?
You can make a religion check.
Ooh, natural 20 for a 24.
You know that this is not an urn to be used for burning, but to hold things in preservation.
Oh, that's to keep the bones, I would assume, of heroes who fought in, and he points to the art on the wall, would be my guess.
All right, go north. That sound good to everybody?
I could try to send him a message, tell him where we are, but then he's going to come here.
I mean, we do need to talk to him.
What if in the message you told him that Lulu was here? Then maybe he would not.
Wait,
be
no,
totally
no, no, because he does
no,
work
right
for Zariel.
Now, yeah.
Well, now he's
right.
A bad guy.
Oh, I
right.
see.
So if he comes here, we gotta convince him or jump him. It's one of those two, right?
I think we gotta just keep looking around ourselves for him.
Okay.
Which way you want to go? North, or you want to go down this passage to the east?
I don't know. Maybe east.
All right, Corbin will head down there first.
All right, there's a big room up here.
Guys,
Lulu says as you guys turn towards a room to the south. And Hyland, you can see that behind Lulu, inside the urn which has opened, there are a number of creatures that are piling out clown car style into the room. Dry, rasping moans reverberate through the space. As these moldering creatures step into view, you take in their slouched, misshapen forms. Rotting cloth wraps every inch of their decaying bodies, dragging behind them like a cloak. They moan again, almost forming words with their lipless mouths, and from their sunken, dark eye sockets, a light green glow emanates. They are covered with bandages, which are rotting and falling all over their bodies, and they are hissing and groaning as Lulu shrieks and flies behind you.
They're not attacking me, I'm gonna run.
They are definitely moving slowly towards you, so let's roll initiative.
Oh, great, guys.
Ophelia and Corbin, you both get to add 4 to your initiative.
Corbin rolled a 12.
Thank God we're in a narrow hallway.
The 28 for Ophelia.
Kylan got a 14.
Renaissance got an 8. I guess Lulu is also within my aura of the Sentinel, so she would also get to add 4 to whatever she's got.
Not leaving your side again.
I shout, everyone fall back. Don't get caught in that narrow corridor. Come into the next room. Let them chase us.
Ophelia will step forward. Not that she's ignoring Renaissance, but she does want to get a shot in. She is going to cast Crown of Madness on the one that's closest to Kylan. It needs to make a wisdom saving throw. DC 16.
This is a charm effect, yes?
Yes.
Cast the spell on the creature and it has no effect whatsoever.
Ah, it's immune to charm. That
yep,
sucks.
Doesn't seem to do anything.
Damn. Okay. Well, I'll use the rest of my movement to move down past Renaissance and Corbin into the other room.
I say choke point, like we do with the zombies.
I'm going to say, Lulu, follow me, and I'm going to move backwards. I'm going to stop 15 feet backwards, and I'm going to manifest 2 psychic blades, and I'm going to throw 2 blades at the... Are they zombies? Are they?
You don't know what they are. You could make it a religion check if you'd like.
I got a natural 20. I know exactly what they are.
Yeah, they are mummified undead.
Okay. So the first undead gentleman in front of me, that's who I'm going to throw things at. First is an 18 to hit.
18 hits.
Great. So that's 7 psychic damage. And second one, a 19 to hit.
19 hits.
8 psychic damage. So it's a total of 15 psychic damage. And then I'm going to continue moving backwards. And that's the end of my movement and my turn.
Corbin.
Harlan, what is it?
He's going to move into the room 5 feet.
It's like 10 undead gentlemen, you know?
Yeah, do they seem mummified?
I was looking for a little...
All right, then I just sort of...
A little better game here.
We've seen a lot of undead here, so you got to give me a little bit more.
I think for a second. Yeah, I mean, you could say that. You could say mummified. Yeah, they had wrappings and whatnot.
With Corbin's action, he is going to cast Spirit Guardians. That is it. He's going to hold it and say, we're going to hold the line here. They got to walk through these.
Renaissance, it's your turn.
I run my fingers over Heavensfall and I say, Avernus. And Heavensfall bursts into flame. I cast Searing Smite as a bonus action. I then fall back 5 feet to stand next to Hylan, and I ready an action. If something gets within melee range, I'm going to attack with Heavensfall.
It is now Lulu's turn. Lulu sees everybody running away from these mummies, and so she will do the smart thing and do the same. So she will fly into the radius of your spirit guardians right next to you, Corbin, back to back with you, and says, Corbin, what do we do? What's gonna happen?
It's all right. We're just going to hold the ground here. We're good.
The mummies, of course, will shamble towards the source of life. So they will just, all of them will move.
Come to Corbin.
And then they will dash. That is their turn. They have used their action to dash into the area where you can see them and they can see you. And they are not in your spirit guardians. That is the end of their turn, but before the beginning of Ophelia's turn, Ophelia,
oh, God.
Your breath begins to come out in little clouds. The room has begun to get very, very cold.
Oh.
Coming down the passageway to your west, you hear, before you see, the sound of metal clanking and boots, heavy footfalls, coming down the corridor.
Here it comes.
Guys.
From which direction?
From the southwest.
I think we found him.
This force in armor with glowing red eyes hidden behind a helmet. You see floating behind him, three spectral creatures, all with translucent skin and brilliant blue-white hair floating as if they were underwater.
Terrible. Hate ghosts.
I cast Fairy Fire on the three that we can see, and it's a DC 16 dex save.
Cool.
All of them fail.
Oh.
They're now granting advantage, and they're glowing blue.
They suck on dex.
Hylan, you're up.
Oh, thanks, Ophelia, because now I get sneak attack. This front mummy, the avant-garde mummy here, is the one I hit last time, so I'm going to manifest my blades, and I will throw two at that mummy. The first one is a 25 to hit.
That'll hit.
6 psychic and 17 sneak attack for a total of 23 on the first hit, and then... So the second one is a 26 to hit.
Yep.
And that does 5 psychic damage. So I guess a total of 28. And I'm going to stay where I am because I don't want to expose Lulu.
Corbin, you're up.
Corbin is going to hold a shield over his head. Umata, protect us. And he's going to cast this Twilight Sanctuary around us. And the whole area is going to be filled with dim orangey light. It's beautiful. That's my first channel divinity gone. As his bonus action, he's going to call forth another little sliver of light, and a pillow's going to come out, and whichever of those mummies is wounded is going to get hit in the face. A 23?
Yeah, 23 hits.
10 points of force damage.
Oh, they have a lot of hit points, you guys, and there are many of them.
They're just about to step into the Spirit Guardian, so.
Great.
That's my turn.
Out of the corner of your eye, Ophelia, you just see Olanthius lift his armored arm and point in your direction, and these flitting spirits fly through him and into the next room in your direction. There are 3 of them, and they fly 50 feet in your direction, all 3 of them hovering just outside the range of your spirit guardians. And then they disappear into the wall.
Oh, super.
Heaven's Fall is still on fire. I'm just gonna, again, ready in action. If anything gets in melee range with me, I attack it with Heaven's Fall.
Lulu, she's got...
Can she bless us?
I was gonna say, yeah, she could totally bless you guys. Absolutely. So she's gonna cast Bless on... Certainly you, Hylan, certainly you, Corbin, and certainly you, no offense, Ophelia, you're in the back line, so to speak.
Real quick, Renaissance, you get 13 temps.
Nice,
Lulu gets 13 temps from my Twilight Sanctuary, and so did I.
It is now the mummy's turn. So the mummies will, of course, shamble forward into your spirit guardians. The one who is badly damaged chooses to stay out of it and survive. 2 of them that haven't been hurt yet will stumble into the spirit guardians and make wisdom saving throws.
Well, DC is 16.
Okay, both of them fail.
So I rolled 21 points, so if they both fail, they both take 21.
Yes.
As soon as it steps up in front of me, Matt, I was holding those attacks.
Yes, you certainly were.
So I take 2 swings. First swing. This will be at advantage because they are fairy fired. It is a 20.
That will hit.
So he's going to take 6 magical bludgeoning, 2 radiant, and then I did have searing smite active. So he will also take 8 fire damage, and he's on fire. For now, he just takes the bludgeoning damage and the 8 fire damage.
Super. When your mace hits this creature as it's glowing with fire, it lands into this sack of bones and dust held together by wrappings, and it lights ablaze. And the smell coming off of this creature is abhorrent, especially as it's burning. It doesn't seem to indicate that it's in pain in any way, but it certainly seems that the fire is spreading, perhaps due to the bandages, pretty fast.
I will take my second attack on him. This no longer has the Searing Smite active. With advantage, a 26.
26 hits.
Ooh.
That is 9 bludgeoning and 1 radiant for another 10 damage. And I'm going to drop a level 1 Divine Smite on it.
Yes.
Yes, it is undead. So this is going to be 3d8 radiant.
Doesn't have that many hit points left, so you just can narrate its ending right now.
So it is in flames and smoldering, and I just crack it again in the skull with a radiant smite, and the skull explodes in a blaze of white light, and it collapses into a heap of ashes.
Excellent.
For the record, it took another 20 radiant off of this.
Wow. That...
Okay. It's actually still their turn because that was my reaction.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. More pile in, unfortunately, behind it. 10, this one obviously still has to make a DC 16 wisdom. That one made it with a 16.
That's 10 points.
Into the place where its now ashed brethren was, and will make an attack. As it does so, its eyes underneath the wrappings glow with an intense bright light, and yet you feel like if Renaissance wasn't there, you would all be insanely frightened by this creature.
Oh, thank you.
However, that doesn't stop it from smashing its fists into Renaissance's personage. First attack is a 22.
That'll miss. And the reason it'll miss is because I'm still benefiting from that abjuration thing that I got from the obelisk, which lasts 24 hours.
Nice.
Awesome.
Oh my goodness.
Otherwise it would have hit me, but my armor class is currently 23.
Amazing.
That is great.
A couple more shuffle in behind it. That one will have to make a wisdom saving throw as well.
For a lot of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a terrible situation.
We need a fireball.
Yeah, I know. Where's fireball when you need it?
You do have fireball. Now Gargoth is like, hey, Renaissance.
I know what you're gonna say, Gogs. Corbin should be a cleric and turn undead. I was thinking the same thing.
Not exactly. Not exactly what I was.
We're on the same page, Gogs. Don't worry.
Oh. The other one will make its attack on Hylan. That is a 20 to hit.
That hits.
That is 11 bludgeoning and 12.
I will uncanny dodge it.
The whole damage is 11 bludgeoning and 12 necrotic, which you'll already have because of your Asimar ability. The whole thing is a total of 17 damage.
So that will be halved. To 8.
That is correct. Please make a constitution saving throw.
You'll have a +3.
A 22 with the +3.
Although this creature hits you and you feel like this thing's just basically a bag of bones and dust inside, it hits just like a truck. And you feel your skin almost recoil at its heinous touch, but you're able to fend off whatever kind of diseases it may have.
Good.
Two more of those guys just walked into my spirit guardian.
Pass and fail.
So 10 or 21.
Olanthius stalks towards you.
Start talking to this guy.
I can't see him.
20, I can't 20, either, 20, but 30. We will soon.
Feel you can.
And then he will dash 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and sees this halo of butterfly hands and just stops there. He pulls out a charred and melted looking sword and just points it at you, Corbin.
Shit.
Flee now or face the wrath of my mistress.
My Lord Olanthius, we've come to bring you hope. We mean to redeem you and Zariel and save the people of Elturel if we can. We know that you loved her. We know that you tried to prevent all this.
Make a persuasion check. DC's pretty high.
Oh!
Nat 20 for a 27.
Oh my god!
The DC was indeed 25.
Ooh,
wow.
Olanthius drops the tip of his sword down towards the floor and says,
I am somewhat interested. You must persuade me further.
And his voice sort of comes out in a gasp, almost like a rasp. You ain't out of this fight yet. It is now Ophelia's turn.
Ophelia puts a finger on either side of her helm. She closes her eyes, not that anyone can see since the helm makes it look like she has no eyes anyway. She says, Horm, I don't know what you see in me, but I know that you see something. And if you can help me, please protect me in this moment. As she squeezes her temples, she casts Dispel Evil and Good on herself. And as a bonus action, I will grant Hylan Bardic Inspiration.
Thank you.
Hylan, Queen of the Mummy Slayers.
That's me.
Yes, that's you. I know you can do this.
Fantastic, I'm inspired.
Yeah.
And the mummy right in front of me still is fairy-fired.
Correct.
I will manifest my blades and stab that fairy-fired mummy twice. That's a 25 to hit on the first hit.
Yup.
Okay, that's 10 psychic and 12 sneak attack for 22 damage. And the second one is a 23 to hit.
Indeed I will.
And that is 6 psychic damage. And I will stay where I am.
All right, Corbin, you're up.
Since my last turn, everybody has 16 temporary hit points. I rolled the max.
Thank you.
Corbin, bonus action. He's going to take a shot at the wounded mummy with his spiritual weapon. A 21.
21 hits.
11 points of force damage.
Way in the corner.
That was the wounded one before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one who did not step into the spirit gardens, I should say.
Right, that's the one I want to hit.
Yeah, that hits. and does 11 force damage and turns to dust.
Yeah.
And then as my action, I'm going to say, Imata, I need your help again. Turn these foul creatures away from us. But he's going to hold his channel divinity, turn undead, until he sees these spectral ones come out. As soon as he sees them, he's going to let it loose. And then the other thing he's going to do on his turn, he's going to look at Alanthus and he's going to say, I'm not trying to lie to you or trick you or persuade you or intimidate you, but we're fighting on the same side as General Yelwood, and she would be with us, and you should be with us. Come on, join us, help us.
I would say that's a decent enough, and you did make a mention of, you did name drop Yael.
I totally name dropped.
Make a persuasion check.
A 12?
12 is not enough.
I'm not good with the words. Someone else has to do it.
Alanthus seems to ignore your pleas and does seem to be holding up his other hand, the hand that does not grasp the sword. And he has something that is blossoming in the palm of his hand, some kind of brilliant golden and red orb that is pulsing with power.
That can't be good.
The specters actually do emerge because they come at you not through the wall, but through the floor. They just come up and just up through the floor.
Ooh, bone chilling.
One on either side of Ophelia and one right next to you, Corbin.
So what happens
gonna,
first?
They are going to pop up into the Spirit Guardians, right? Right.
Spirit Guardians or my...
I'll make a dice decide. Okay, so it's turn undead. Turn undead because I rolled a one.
DC 16.
You right. can drop Spirit Guardians,
I know.
Though, right?
All three fail.
The mummies have to do it too.
That's true.
All within 30 feet by Spirit Guardians. As soon as I see they're terrified, I drop it.
Wisdom. 16. One. That saves. That saves. That fails. That fails. Okay, so three fail, three succeed of the mummies. Yeah, there's only six left.
Yeah,
okay.
But it is the Spectre's turn, so they would actually run a
They
run
would.
A turn.
You're right. They yeah. would flee. Absolutely. One will just fly right into the wall, leaving a ectoplasmic residue behind. The others fly through Olanthius and end up on the other side. That is their turn, because they can't do much more than that. Renaissance, it's your turn now.
I say, my lord, you know yourself, you're no Harriman. You were never made for this. It's all the fault of Asmodeus, and there's still a chance to stop it. Please just listen to us.
Make a persuasion check.
25.
His persona does not ooze hatred and vengeance any longer. He does look like he's forced to do this, but there is still a little bit left in him which is forcing him to do what he has been created to do. It is your turn, Renaissance.
Can I tell? I'm going to take a swing at the badly wounded mummy in front of Hylan, who is still fairy fired. That is 24.
That will hit.
That is 8 bludgeoning and 3 radiant for a total of 11.
That will destroy it.
Excellent.
Don't want to break the line, so even though I still do have an attack left, I'm not going to step in there. I don't want to get caught with the ones that still aren't turned, so I'm just going to forego my other attack and stay where I am.
It is Lulu's turn. Lulu, seeing the commotion, seeing that the Spirit Guardians have disappeared, cowers behind Corbin and takes the dodge action. We still have some mummies left to go here. So the ones who turned run. The ones who do not will pilot. One will take an attack on Renaissance and one will take an attack on Hylan. Attack on Renaissance. That is a 15, which misses because your AC is ridiculous. And then the second will take its attack on Hylan. And that is a, oh shit, 24 to hit.
I throw my shield in front of Hylan.
How much damage do you reduce?
So it reduces it by 6.
Can I also uncannily dodge that?
Yeah, so first of all, that necrotic is cut in half. So what does that cut it to?
So that cuts it to 6.
And then I absorb 6.
Cool, so it's just 10.
And then you can uncanny dodge.
So it's 5.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Fantastic.
All right, it is Olanthius' turn. Olanthius is certainly listening to you, and he seems like he's maybe on the verge of completely surrendering. This may be just something that he is absolutely forced to do as he lifts his hand and hurls this ball at all of you. I would like everyone to please make a dexterity saving throw.
Evasion.
Everyone gets a +3.
Corbin has a 24.
Also, some of us are blessed.
Nice.
Wow!
Renaissance with a 24.
Ophelia got a 26.
Hylan got a 24, so she takes no damage.
This orb would probably have wasted you if you guys did not make these saves.
Wow.
The titanic blast echoes through your ears as you are flattened by this bomb of fire and necrotic damage, which has evaporated the mummies, by the way. They're just gone. It's fire and necrotic. 41 yes. Fire and 32 necrotic.
Okay, so for 41, I saved, reducing it to 20, and then I'm resistant, reducing it to 10 for the fire. And then I take 16 for their necrotic.
So people not resistant to fire would take 20.
That's correct.
So a total of 73 halved if you made it, which is 36.
That's correct.
Oof.
Oh, can't take another one of those.
I actually only took 10 points of real damage, so that actually wasn't that bad.
Incredible.
Corbin's down to 53, which hurts,
wait,
but...
Lulu.
Oh, boy, Lulu.
She has to make her dex save here, folks.
She does have a plus three.
So that's a 15 total. The DC is 18.
Oh, my God.
So she just took 73 damage, and Lulu is knocked out. Lulu just goes, oh my God! Her voice is cut off as this resounding explosion occurs, and there's this ringing in your ears as the four of you pick yourself off the ground, except for Hyland, who has sort of flattened herself against the wall to protect herself from this explosion. The mummies are gone, but Lulu is on the ground, and she's not breathing.
I say, my lord, stop. It's Lulu. You know her. It's Lulu.
Ophelia, it's your turn.
This is Lulu. You know her. Please stop what you're doing. We know who you really are. She takes one of the journal pages out that she has and she shows him. She says, I know, we know that you killed yourself to try to avoid this. We know that you don't want to be doing this. Listen to that part of you that is telling you no. You know it to be true.
Make a persuasion check, Ophelia.
26.
Yes!
Olympias
nice.
Drops to his knees. And he removes his helmet and throws it aside.
Amazing.
And underneath his helmet, there is a desiccated skull with bits of flesh still hanging limply off of it. He grabs his chest and tears at it and beats at it. He goes, I can't stop! I'm so sorry! And then he looks at you and says, forgive me, and drops his sword. Still have an action, Ophelia.
So I go over to Lulu, and I cast a Cure Wound.
73 damage, right?
Yeah.
Was one hit point away from killing her.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
One hit point.
I'm going to cast Cure Wounds at level 5.
All right.
That's going to be 24 hit points.
Nice.
She comes back at your touch. She just starts.
Lulu! You're okay, Lulu. It's okay. You're safe now.
You are out of combat. As Olanthius turns towards these specters and with a wave of his hand seems to order them to abate their attacks.
Ooh.
Olanthius then stands and says, yes, Lulu, I remember.
My lord, where is the Bleeding Citadel?
He says, if you wish to know the location of the Citadel, I will let you know. There is only one way to prove your worth. I must know that the demon lord Costici has been freed. If he is, this will provide a distraction so that Zariel does not find you at the Citadel and stop you from freeing the sword.
We have to create a diversion.
Yes, if you seek out this demon lord imprisoned here in Avernus and whose hammer Zariel stole, if it is freed, the demon lord is sure to want its weapon back. That should create the diversion that you need in order to enter the Citadel and obtain the sword.
We know where Costici's maw is. Barzit told us. Is there anything else we need to know about Costici or how to reach him?
There is a swifter way to reach Costici's maw than to travel across the dangerous plains of Avernus. A shortcut, if you will. Seek out the Arches of Ulok that will transport you to anywhere on the plains of Avernus that you so desire, as long as you have a clear destination in mind. Have you a map?
I show him.
And he illuminates for you on the map, very close, actually, to the Crypt of the Hellriders. It's a very strange-looking edifice. It's got these kind of hellish looking spikes sprouting from the earth. That does seem to be where the arches of Ulok stand.
Thank you, Olanthius. We ask that you try to hold on to what you can of your humanity until we've completed the task you set for us.
Very well. Take this with you.
And he holds out in his hand, instead of an orb of death, he actually hands out to the five of you a piece of bone with small holes. Sort of makes it look like a flute.
Thank you. What do these do? Is this a
musical instrument, my lord?
It is a way that you will be able to contact me once Castici is released.
That was my next question, so thank you.
I say, Ophelia, I think you might be best suited for this.
I take the flute.
He says, now go. What I understand, your quest is valuable, and you all must take great care.
And he sort of points in the direction of the exit. Lulu stays behind for a second and says,
Olanthius, you remember me, don't you?
Olanthius turns slowly in Lulu's direction and says,
yes, yes, I do, Lulu.
Well, I know that you did horrible things because you're still in the service of Zariel, but I have a question to ask you.
And she flies closer to Olanthius, and she says,
is there a good person still inside, or is it just a fool's errand?
And Olanthius says,
I don't know, Lulu. I do know her wrath is terrible, and those that she has allied with serve her, and their loyalty is strong.
Lulu nods and says,
I see. Well, thank you. Take care of yourself.
And she flies after you. And unless there's anything else anyone would like to do, I'd say that you guys make it to the entrance of the Crypt of the Hellriders. And as you exit the Crypt of the Hellriders, you see the plains of Avernus out in front of you, and you see the Raga Wagon. As you look toward the Raga Wagon, you see that interposed between you and it are three infernal vehicles, devil's ride motorcycles. And standing directly next to each one is a figure. In the middle of the three stands Lilxori. She has a scowl of intense hatred focused in your general direction. To the left of our favorite Cambion is a hulking figure, almost twice her height, with bone-like spines sticking out of her back and shoulders. Her dusky gray and brown fur sprouts in ragged patches all over her body, and where there is no fur, her skin has turned a hellish red. Her eyes glow with infernal power, and she slavers on the ground as if rabid. But her posture and facial structure, although warped and twisted, is unmistakable, at least if only to her little brother, Corbin. Deghawks found you, and it looks like you've got hell to pay. And that is when your eyes focus on the third of this merry trio. This one is dressed in black from head to toe, her arms gauntleted in bands of infernal iron. She has black vulture-like wings that sprout from her back, but her face is immediately recognizable as that of Thalamra Van Thamper. Thalamra smiles, showing rows of shark-like teeth, and says,
I told you I'd see you again, puppets. Time for round two.
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. First, it's time to tell you about a new show coming this fall from Cast Party. Beginning in October 2023, join us for a new actual play series presented by Cast Party and our friends at EN World Publishing's Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. To celebrate the publication of Level Up A5E's epic new hardcover adventure to save a kingdom, we're returning to Holdenshire to face haunted castles, the madness of a fairy queen, the lost secrets of dwarven ruins, and the greatest threat of all, the dreaded dragon Siroth, ruler of Skull Mountain and tyrant of the Desolation. This new actual play series, releasing in both podcast form and on our YouTube channel, we'll use Level Up A5E rules to enhance the classic Dungeons & Dragons 5E experience. We recorded our first session last week, and it was a lot of fun, and I can't wait for all of you to hear this show this fall. While you're waiting for the new show, this summer is a great time for a rewatch or re-listen to Podcast Party Memories of Holdenshire, our previous Level Up A5E series, which serves as a prelude for To Slay a Dragon. You can find the link for the YouTube version in the show notes, and you can, of course, find Memories of Holden Shire episodes 1-7 right here in this podcast feed. Would you like to fight a crypt full of mummies like our heroes are doing in this episode? Cast Party's professional dungeon masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition adventures, as well as third-party adventures and even some we've created ourselves. We can also run games for Pathfinder 2E, Blades in the Dark, Dungeon Crawl Classics, Alien the Role-Playing Game, Monster of the Week, and many others. Check us out at cast-party.com and follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, or on TikTok at Cast_Party, and now on Threads, Cast_Party, although I haven't actually posted anything yet, but we're there. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link, or visit cast-party.com. Quick update on Secrets of the Blind Palace, the Dungeon Masters Guild best-selling adventure by yours truly, Tal Avi Azer, a.k.a. Renaissance, with maps by Cast Party's Carolyn Fox. If you, the listeners, can make Secrets of the Blind Palace go platinum on DM's Guild, Cast Party will record a special actual play miniseries of it and release it as a podcast. We have an updated count. We now need just 5 more copies sold to get there. So if you want to hear that show, and if you would like to stop hearing this ad, please go buy my adventure. It's only $2.99 to get the PDF version, or for $6.75, you can get the bundle that has both the PDF and the Roll20 version. Either of those purchases will count towards making it go platinum. It's a 4-7 hour Dungeons & Dragons adventure for 3-7 characters of levels 1-4. Go buy Secrets of the Blind Palace at dmsguild.com or follow the link in the show notes. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, the awesome description of the mummies in today's episode was brought to you by Describe. You can check out thousands of other monsters, spells, location descriptions, and more only at Describe.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on Threads at Cast_Party, or on TikTok at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening. And now back to our adventure in Avernus.
The four of you, with Lulu, have left the Crypt of the Hellriders, and in between you and the Ragawagon are these three figures. Luxori, she seems to have come with an additional piece of armament. She has a rather vicious-looking sword. Deghawk is now accoutred with a rather imposing-looking bludgeoning weapon. I guess you could call it a mace. On one end, there is an oversized skull with fangs jutting forth from its maw. On the bare bone of the skull, there are all kinds of horrendous infernal runes and inscriptions, and there are spikes jutting out from the top of it. It's affixed to just a long metal bar, and the other end of it, a jutting spike that comes out of the bottom. It's clear these folks don't want to just have tea with you, so let's go ahead and roll initiative.
Everybody gets a +4 to whatever you roll on initiative.
Thanks. Hylan rolled a 26.
Renaissance got a 24.
Corbin got a 21.
Ophelia rolled an 18.
And Lula got a 15.
Cool. Okay, for my turn, I'm going to move up 10 feet so I'm next to Renaissance. I'm going to pull out the beautiful Waken Dragon's Wrath dagger that I found in my pack, and I'm going to try to use its once-per-day action of creating a 30-foot cone in front of me of radiant damage towards those three people, hopefully engulfing all three of them. They have to make a DC 16 dex saving throw.
One failed, and that was Deghawk. Deghawk was too big to get out of the way of this blinding light coming from your dagger.
I'm so sorry, Corbin. The two that succeeded,
take 15 radiant, and Deghawk takes 30 radiant damage.
Whew. Nice.
And then I'm going to move back 15 more feet, and that's my turn.
Renaissance, it's your turn.
I bonus action Hex on Deghawk.
Yeah.
How lucky am I feeling today? Not that lucky. I fire two Eldritch Blasts at Deghawk. First shot is a 21, second shot is a 23.
Both hit.
All right.
Okay, so from the Eldritch Blasts, she will take a total of 11 force damage. Each blast gets the hex damage tagged onto it. So she will take an additional 8 necrotic damage because I've hexed her. And the ability score that I'm affecting with the hex is strength.
So that's a total of how much damage?
11 force and 8 necrotic for a total of 19 damage.
And I say, Corbin, how are we handling Deghawk? What do you want to do here?
She's a monster. Killer.
You sure?
I think.
Corbin is very unsure about that.
All right. Stick together, everyone, so I can protect you, so we can protect each other. I'm done with my turn.
You're in front, aren't you, Renaissance?
Sure am.
Aww.
Lilxori will take her sword, point it at you, and shout, "You're mine!" And will charge at you.
Oh, boy.
She raises her sword and swings it down at you twice.
I should have stayed next to you.
Her sword bristles with fire that is reminiscent of the weapon that she used the last time, which was some kind of a hellish warhammer.
Just as a reminder, Matt, my AC still is 23 right now because of the obelisk effect that I got.
First attack is a 26.
That hits.
10 slashing and 4 fire damage.
Okay, I am resistant to fire damage, so I take a total of 12 damage off of that.
Okay, and then the second attack is a 23.
That is target.
7 slashing and 5 fire damage.
Okay, the fire damage is reduced to 2, so that is a total of 9 damage.
She then uses an ability called Ferocious Surge. The ability is that when she hits with an attack that isn't a critical hit, she can turn that hit into a critical hit.
Whoa!
Another D8 of slashing damage plus another D6 of fire damage. So you take another 5 slashing and another 5 of fire.
Okay, so the fire is reduced to 2. So miraculously through all of that, I do maintain concentration on the hex.
Yes.
It is now Thalambra Van Thamper's turn. Her hands glow with eldritch energy. She points her gauntleted finger directly at you, Corbin.
What? No, not me.
Oh.
Flames under your feet explode outward, and every creature within a 20-foot radius sphere.
Oh, no.
Centered on that point, must make a dexterity saving throw.
Everybody will have a +3 on this dexterity save.
Thank God.
Renaissance with a 10.
Orbin with a 19.
Hylan got a 19.
Philia rolled a 27 on her dex save.
Awesome.
Goodness.
Those of you who failed because the DC was a 17 will take 32 fire damage.
Holy
no!
shit.
Those of you who succeeded will only take 16 fire damage.
I use evasion. I take nothing.
So I failed, so I should take full damage, but again, I am resistant to fire. I take 16.
Oh, thank God.
She just sort of giggles looking at you, Corbin. She says, "A little singe there, are we?"
Oh.
Her wings flap outward, and she flies up 60 feet in the air. And she stays there. Corbin, it's your turn.
How far did those flames go up in the air?
20 feet up.
Bonus action, Corbin's going to cast Steps of Night. If he can fly. There's nothing good to do.
Make the thing. The Twilight Sanctuary.
I got no Twilight Sanctuary left.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, shit.
We're fucked.
Oh,
we're
my fucked. God. Oh, no.
That is not good news. That is not good.
No.
Of course, that's what I would do.
This is so bad.
So Corbin is going to float up in the air on a spectral hand above about 15 feet, and he's going to say, "Ilmata, protect us." And he's going to cast Spirit Guardians at 4th level.
Ophelia, it's your turn.
So she is going to cast Rogolithim's Psychic Lance on Lilxori. So Lilxori needs to make an intelligence save. It's a DC 16.
She makes it with a 25.
Okay, so she'll take half damage. So she'll take 15 psychic damage, and that is it.
She grunts. She's right in front of you, Renison, so you can see her clearly. So she grunts and squints as this psychic blast hits her, and then her eyes focus over on Ophelia, and she focuses all of her hatred, and you see her eyes glow, and she casts, as a reaction, Hellish Rebuke.
Counterspell.
Awesome.
So there you go. Nothing happens.
You have Counterspell?
Great.
I am the Watcher.
Awesome.
How'd you do that?
I'm the shield.
I like it.
You Counterspell her Hellish Rebuke. Is that a verbal spell?
No, only movement. Somatic.
What is the... I actually really want to know. What is the somatic... This is flavor for you, Tal, completely.
Sure.
What does the somatic portion of this spell look like?
She starts to cast Hellish Rebuke towards Ophelia. I trace one hand over the symbol of the eye on the center of my breastplate, and the spell energy redirects off of Ophelia and gets absorbed into the eye on my breastplate and then fizzles out into nothing.
So she immediately notes this, and her eyes, still brimming with hatred and ferocity, trace back to the symbol on your chest plate, and then up to your eyes. Renaissance, this is the first time you and she have ever come this close. And she looks at you, and you remember seeing her 2 or 3 days ago when you saw her last, fighting her and her devilish minions. And she had that sort of strange, quizzical look on her face as you were standing atop the Ragawagon, and she was desperately trying to stop you from escaping. This time, however, her eyes meet yours, and something very strange happens, Renaissance. It's not so much a word, but she says, "Gah," and her face sort of stops looking so hateful. Lulu's turn is next. Lulu looks up at you flying in the air, Corbin, and she flies up to meet you, 15 feet in the air.
Go higher, avoid the flames.
Here, and she places her trunk on your shoulder and she casts Cure Wounds.
Yay, I'm wounded.
She's like, I got one more at least, and that's it. So she heals you for 6.
Take it.
Can you put your aura up?
I haven't been able to use my aura since yesterday.
Go up higher, please, in case she does it again.
It is now Deghawk's turn. Deghawk has been pretty severely wounded by these first couple of attacks. She roars, and the sound coming out of her mouth is absolutely terrifying. I would like everyone who can hear her to make a wisdom saving throw.
Question, Matt, is this a fear effect?
It is.
Okay, I am immune to it, and within 10 feet. I think Corbin's too high. Ophelia is also immune. She's within 10 feet of me.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
A wisdom save, Matt?
That is correct.
Hyland got a 4.
Corbin got a 13.
Unfortunately, those are both failures. Let me roll for Lulu. Lulu got a 9. The sound uttering from Deghawk's guttural throat is enough to absolutely terrify you. Corbin, perhaps you more than anyone, because this is not your sister. This is not your sister anymore. That is something you know for sure. But you are frightened. You can repeat the save at the end of each of your turns. With that, Deghawk charges, and she charges towards the closest target that she can find, who is Renaissance. And she does enter the Spirit Guardians, so she will need to make a wisdom saving throw.
DC 16.
She fails.
She takes 16 points of radiant damage as the hands of Ilmater come down and smack the shit out of her.
And she sort of swats at them like they're annoying insects and slavers all over the ground, and where her saliva, if you can call it that, hits the ground, you just see sort of stinking, hissing masses of liquid.
Is she wearing any of the vestments or garb that we wear at the church? Is there anything left of that?
Make a perception check.
That's a crit fail, but it's still a 13.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't see anything that resembles the vestments that she once wore. Hyland, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm just gonna say, Lily, please fly to safety, hide. And then I'm really scared, which means I can't move closer to her. Any attack I make is at disadvantage.
That is correct.
I'm going to try to do my breathing exercises, and I'm gonna try to use steady aim to cancel out that disadvantage and just make it a straight roll to hit Deghawk.
Okay.
With a psychic blade.
Nice.
That's a 22 to hit.
22 hits.
5 psychic damage and 20 sneak attack for a total of 25 damage on the source of my fear, so take that. And I'm gonna stay where I am because I can't get closer.
Renaissance, it is your turn.
I'm pretty fucked up. I reach up from my breastplate where I just absorbed the spell. I put my hand on my own throat. I'm gonna lay on hands for 40 hit points.
Yes. I wanted to heal you, but I couldn't get over there.
And that is it. That's my action. So other than that, I just stand my ground.
It's Luxori's turn. She will look to her left and see Daghawk, and then glance to her right and see Falamra. And pressed in as she is against you, Renaissance, she will utter forth a word in Infernal to the both of them. And in doing so, will use an ability of hers, which is called Zariel's Command, which is up to three allied devils within 120 feet of her can use their reactions to each make one attack. So Daghawk will swing at you, Renaissance. So that's a miss. That's actually a natural one. All of that for a natural one. Pangs right off. You tell me, how does that work with you?
I think with a natural one, I just sort of sidestep it. She's nowhere near me.
Yeah, he just whistles through the air. Like, if you got hit by this thing, it would feel like a truck hit you. And then the Lambra will use an attack. She will attack with Eldritch Blast. 35 to hit.
Ooh. Who is she attacking?
Renaissance.
Yeah, 35 hits.
That is 10 force damage.
Ugh. Matt, Ilksori was in my Spirit Guardian, so could she roll a saving throw, please?
Sure thing.
Wisdom DC 16.
That is a failure.
16 points of radiant damage.
Yay.
So she chooses, as a bonus action, another ability, which you've seen her use before. She sort of makes a gesture in the air with her free hand, which sparks with fire. And it's an ability called Fury of the Nine. She chooses another creature that she can see, and that creature gains advantage on all attack rolls and saving throws for the next minute. And she chooses the Lamra Vanthemp. Lilxora's face turns back to you, Renaissance. And like I said before, it's probing, it's searching, it's looking at all of your facial features.
I say, what is it? You know me. Who are you?
No. No. No, I... No! And she grunts and screams no. The Lamra Vanthamper's turn is next. She now has advantage on all of her attacks for the next minute. She will cast Guiding Bolt. She's casting it at Corbin.
Why me? I didn't kill you. Renaissance killed you.
She seems fine. She looks fine.
I point at Renaissance. Guiding Bolt, up at you in the air. 31 to hit.
That hits. Ouch.
Jeez, her attack roll.
That is 19 damage.
19 damage, and I gotta make a concentration check. I rolled a 16, but I have advantage because I'm Warcaster, and I rolled a 20.
Very nice.
Nice.
Falamra's Eldritch Blast on me took out my hex.
Oh, that was on Daghawk.
Correct.
Got it. That is the Lamra's turn. She stays there in the air, 60 feet up in the air. Hyland, can you please roll your wisdom saving throw for frightened? Because I don't believe you did
thanks.
So.
Oh, thanks. I did not. Yes! Natural 20 for 21.
You are no longer frightened.
Yay! That's great news.
I'm so torn. All right, Corbin is going to cast Guardian of Faith, and he's going to plop it down right next to Renaissance.
Awesome.
So this massive form of Ilmater is going to appear.
She's going to counterspell that. Sorry.
What?
The Lambra's going to counterspell that, but that's above third level, so she'll have to make a roll for it.
Oh, no.
What does she need to beat to counterspell me?
She needs to beat a 14. 10 plus the level of the spell. She got an 18.
Fuck.
She counterspells your Guardian of Faith.
Well, there goes all that.
I'll help you. Oh, shit. Where did it go?
Oh, that was a good idea, though.
I've got nothing else because I cast a spell. So once that happens, I am going to drop down 5 feet so I'm within Renaissance's aura. And I'm going to say,
Daghawk, remember who you were. Come on, you're my sister. Help us.
So Matt, when Corbin drops to within 10 feet of me, the fear effect on him is going to end.
Awesome.
That is my turn, and that sucked.
Yeah.
Ophelia is going to move 15 feet so that she is parallel to Lilxori and Daghawk.
Yeah. And
she is going to cast...
Renaissance's eyes open wide in terror as she sees her...
She attacks her rapier. No!
No,
I'm just watching Ophelia charge in front of everyone.
Oh, my God.
No! I think I know why she's doing it. Go ahead.
Okay.
She's
right,
going
I believe
to
in you.
Cast
I believe in you.
Lightning bolts.
Yeah.
DC 16 save, they're going to need to make a dexterity save.
Daghawk made it, Lilxori did not. Maybe she was just so focused on Renaissance that she didn't see it coming off of her flank.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Lilxori is going to take 32 lightning damage.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
And Deghawk will only take 16.
The lightning surges through Deghawk and she screams in pain and torment. And then her body begins to sort of jitter and grow and she rages. She's gone into some kind of a berserk mode.
I'm going to move back.
Oh, nice. Yep. Good job.
To where I was before behind Corbin.
That lightning blast that went through Lilksori, she staggers and plants her sword in the ground for a second and then looks up at you, Renaissance, and says,
your name is Garren.
What?
What the fuck?
It's now Lulu's turn. Lulu is still frightened, but she sees that Corbin has renewed his vigor after flying closer to Renaissance, and she's like, oh, that's right, he's got a thing! And she flies down towards Renaissance, and immediately, ha, oh, you're gonna get it now! And Lulu sucks in a lungful of hellish air, and then blows out through her trunk at both Lilksori and Deghawk. And this you've seen her do once or twice, but she can only do it.
Is it her trumpet of sparkles?
It is her trumpet of sparkles.
Yay!
And this cone of sparkling radiant energy illuminates them, and each of them will have to make a constitution saving throw. And they are both evil creatures. And so because of that, they will have disadvantage on the saving throw.
Wow.
But because Lilksori already has advantage, this is just a straight saving throw. Which she makes without a problem. So she only takes half damage. Deghawk, however, is not so lucky and will have to make her constitution saving throw normally with disadvantage because of Lulu's ability. She makes it with a 14. So both of them will take half damage, which is 4d8 plus 4 radiant damage.
Ooh.
So that's 27 radiant, but it's halved to 13. It is Deghawk's turn.
Spirit Guardians.
Wisdom saving throw. Yeah, she fails miserably with a 2.
21 Ooh. Points of radiant damage.
Deghawk is pummeled by these attacks, but she continues forward. Corbin, are you on the ground, or are you just in the air 10 feet?
No, I'm 10 feet in the air. I know she's a bugbear.
Oh, that's right. She can reach you.
She can, unfortunately.
I was trying to get out of her reach.
So she will swing that war mace, that hellish-looking mace that she has in her hand. She swings it, and she will be able to hit you with her long reach. So she will swing twice. That is a 15 to hit.
It just glances off my fancy new breastplate.
An 18 to hit.
That is target.
So that is 11 piercing damage. And you know it's piercing because those spikes from that Morningstar war mace, whatever you want to call it, digs into your side.
I interpose my shield between Deghawk and Corbin. I will block 6 points of that damage.
Cool.
Corbin only takes 5.
For her third attack, she just swings at you with her claws themselves. A 23 to hit.
Yeah, that hit.
That is 11 slashing damage plus an additional 2d6. An additional 8. So that's a total of 19 damage.
Corbin's at 0.
Oh, jeez.
He drops. Spirit Guardians is out and Corbin falls to the ground.
Thanks for listening. This episode featured the Dungeon Master stylings of Matt Gordon, with Andy Canistra as Painbearer Corbin Shiv, Carolyn Fox as Hylan, Rachel Tamarin as Ophelia, and me, Tal A.V. Azer, as Renaissance. This episode was edited by me and Carolyn Fox. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DeMasso. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode of Descent into Avernus.
Ophelia, by the way, is just feeling a little bit more stealthy than she was before that that long rest that we took. She's a little, you know, sneakier. Perhaps like she's trained in it.
Renaissance got a 9 on stealth.
Okay.
Hylan got a 15.
Corbin got a 21.
Rachel, this is the part where you tell us what Ophelia got on her stealth.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I thought I already said it.
It's fine.
I got the best stealth, but I'm not going to use it.
People tell me my stealth is the best.
It's just for me.
It's perfect stealth. I rolled a 15.
Awesome.